The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is a ForceCast Microcast.
Size matters not.
Brought to you by TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
You may fire when ready.
Give yourself to the dark side.
Beware of the dark side.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
You underestimate the power of the dark side.
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 The dark side. The dark side.
Welcome to A Galaxy of Music, Volume 7, Dancing with the Dark Side. I'm your host, Jimmy Mack, and we're going on a musical journey only a Sith would love. Dark Side tunes and tributes, and a visit from a couple of legitimate Sith lords, Darth Maul Ray Park, and Darth Vader himself, David Prowse. Let's start things with a Dark Side classic that's been bouncing around the web since the mid-90s. It soon became an animated video that won the 2002 Star Wars Fan Films Audience Choice Award. What do you get when you mix a drum machine in Star Wars? You get Star Wars Gangsta Rap by Bent Frame.
It's not the east or the west side.
No, it's not.
It's not the north or the south side.
No, it's not.
It's the dark side.
You are correct.
Get front of the Empire. To all you beta haters out there, we'll blow your planet up.
What does thy bidding, my master?
It's a disaster, Skywalker, we're after.
What if he can be turned to the dark side?
Yes, he'd be a powerful ally. Another dark Jedi.
He will join us or die. We got Death Star.
We
got Death Star. We got Death Star. We got Death Star. We got Death Star. We got Death Star. We got Death Star. We got Death Star. And you know that we got it.
Death Star.
And you know that we got it.
Death Star. Get your ass over here right now. Quit monkeying around that damn land speeder. Where are them two droids I asked you to clean, boy?
You clean your room? I'm blowing. I know I'm on probation. I clean the droids, can I go to the Hachi station? I gotta lay away on the power converter, but now you're treating me like a scruffy nerf herder.
Luke, who's the force? Run to Dagobah, run to Dagobah. Luke, who's the force? Run to Dagobah, run to Dagobah.
I'm Yoda, I'm a soldier. I'm mounted and found you. I thought I told you. Don't be unwise. Just be not by my size. You won't believe your eyes. Watch the X-Wing rise.
Yoda, why you being a player hater? You know that I still must confront Lord Vader.
But Luke, not ready or new.
But there's a city in the clouds where they're keeping my crew. A Jedi's gotta do what a Jedi's gotta do. So now, Vader, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, that's right, R2. I just set a new course. We're going to Cloud City. It's a mighty good gin and tonic, which makes me up another.
Impressive. Now release your anger. You must have sensed that your friends are in danger.
I just slice off my hand.
It's imperative that you understand. Obi-Wan would never bother. Tell me too about your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
Then there's something I must reveal. Then I'm your father. 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 I'm your father.
Knock him out the box, Luke. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, Luke. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, Luke. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, Luke. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, Luke.
Impressive.
Force is with you, young Skywalker.
You are not a Jedi yet.
If you only knew the power of the dark side, your destiny lies with me, Skywalker. Obi-Wan knew this to be true.
From Star Wars Party, that's I'm Your Father by Miko. You of course remember Miko from his big disco tribute to Star Wars back in the 70s. It was July 1977 when Miko Minardo released his disco medley of the Star Wars main theme and the Cantina Band. And that tune went on to become the best-selling instrumental track of all time, the only one being awarded platinum status. Also that year, Miko was nominated for a Grammy in the Best Instrumental Pop Performer category. Ironically enough, that trophy went to none other than John Williams himself. Miko went on to release more musical tributes to Star Wars than I can play in a single microcast. But maybe in a future edition of A Galaxy of Music, we'll take a closer look at the music of Miko Minardo.
This is a Forcecast microcast.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker.
But you are not a Jedi yet.
That voice...
James Earl Jones.
You know the voice of Darth Vader is James Earl Jones, but the man behind the mask in the original Star Wars trilogy was British strongman David Prowse.
How are you this morning, Dave?
I'm very well. Good morning.
I want to talk about your book, Dave Prowse, Straight from the Force's Mouth. It's two volumes. One volume is text and one volume is pictures. What can we read about in the first volume?
Well, the first volume is an autobiography. That's the difference between the two books. One is an autobiography. The other one is a totally photographic record of everything I've done for the last 50 years. I've had an exciting career. I travel all over the world and I've met many interesting people and have my photographs taken with people. And I was given a diary in 1979 and I've kept a diary, a day-to-day diary ever since. And the diary includes a day-to-day happening of everything on Empire Strikes Back and on Return of the Jedi as well, and all the publicity tours I got involved in. I've got exclusive photographs from the Empire Strikes Back premiere. I've got exclusive photographs which people have never seen from the Rebel Assault 2 video game that I did. I mean, and there's all sorts of exclusive stuff in there which people have never seen before. And there's obviously a section on my bodybuilding and weightlifting career, another section on my family. So it's a very, for Star Wars fans, I mean, the book is a dream for people, really.
Tell me a little bit about about your bodybuilding. What sort of competitions were you involved in? What, being a Star Wars fan, I know your Star Wars contributions like the back of my hand, but your weightlifting, tell me some of the luminaries you competed with. Did you compete against a Schwarzenegger, Ferrigno?
See, I did the Mr. Universe contest in 1960, which is just prior to Arnold arriving on the scene. And then I changed over from competitive bodybuilding to competitive weightlifting, and I became the British heavyweight weightlifting champion. So I had 62, 63, 64 as the British heavyweight champion. And I did the Empire and Commonwealth Games in Perth, Australia, and I did the World Weightlifting Championships in Budapest. And then I had this really interesting career where I started doing all what we call the physical culture shows. And Arnold and I used to go around together. He used to do all the bodybuilding demonstrations, and I used to do all the heavy weightlifting demonstrations. And so we've been friends for years and years and years.
How do we get the book?
Well, at the present moment, it's available only on my website, www.darthvader-starwars.com.
Was Star Wars your first acting experience?
No, I was in the business for over 10 years before Star Wars came along. I came into the business in 1960, roughly about 1964, 65. And Star Wars came along in 1976. So, I mean, it was 11 years before, you know. And I'd had a whole career, basically films and television. I'd done practically every television series that came out of Great Britain at the time, things like The Saint and Department S, The Avengers, and all these major series. And then I was in I did the three Hammer horror movies. I was in Stanley Kubrick's Clockwork Orange. I did, you know, all sorts of different movies. And then, of course, everything culminated when George came to England, and he'd set himself up in the 20th Century Fox offices in London, and asked the managing director of 20th Century Fox if they could find me. And, of course, he obviously knew where I was. And an appointment was made to go and see George. And basically, the rest is history. Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you went to see George, oddly enough, you were also offered another role. Which role was that?
I was offered Chewbacca first. And I said, what's that? And he said, it was like a hairy gorilla that goes through the film on the side of the goodies. And I thought, no, I didn't fancy sort of 3 or 4 months in a gorilla skin and you know, not being able to do very much. And I said, no, you can keep that one, George. And I said, what's the other one? And he said, well, the other one's the big villain of the film, a character called Darth Vader. And I said, well, thank you very much. I'll add the villain's part. And that was basically it. And I think it was the wisest decision I've ever made in my career. And then Peter Mayhew came along and took over the role of Chewbacca and did a fantastic job.
Darth Vader. I mean, when you think Star Wars, you think Darth Vader. And now with these prequels, it appears the whole story arc is more about Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, than it is about Luke Skywalker, which, as kids watching the movie, we all thought it was all about Luke. But as it turns out, it's all about Darth.
No, I mean, the first movie was all about Darth Vader. I mean, the first three movies were all about Darth Vader. I mean, Luke and Han Solo and everybody else just happened to be there. And then, of course, now the first trilogy, which, you know, obviously now we're doing 1, 2, 3, is all about the development of Anakin Skywalker to becoming Darth Vader.
The fan support for you and Star Wars is gigantic. And there was a bit of outcry of people wanting to see you don that Darth Vader suit at the end of Episode 3. And I know that you were doing some lobbying for that. How do you feel about seeing Hayden in the black suit?
Well, I wish him the best of luck. But, I mean, it should be me. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, it's I feel very disappointed, you know, that it wasn't me. I mean, you know, I was available. They brought Chewbacca back into the movie. They had R2-D2 back into the movie. They had C-3PO back into the movie. There was no reason whatsoever why I shouldn't reprise the Darth Vader role. And, in fact, I was in Australia at the time when they were filming, so they didn't have to pay any expenses to get me out to Australia or anything like this. But, no, they ignored everything that I... I just let it be known. People were doing interviews with me, and they said, would you like to reprise the Darth Vader role? And I said, yes, I'd love to, you know. So everybody knew I wanted to reprise the role, but they chose not to do it, so that's their prerogative, yeah. I thought the first one, like Phantom Menace, I didn't like at all. Attack of the Clones, I thought, was slightly better, but not much. And no comparison with the first three movies, 4, 5, and 6, because I'm not Darth Vader in the movie. I don't have the interest, really, that I should have.
Now, your connection with Star Wars, though, still remains with fan conventions and everything. Let's talk about the fans. What's the strangest thing you ever autographed for a fan?
Well, I've autographed ladies' breasts. I've autographed guys' legs, arms, bicycles. I've done all sorts of different things, you know. I mean, it's amazing some of the things that the fans come up with. I usually find that the fans are very, very good. You occasionally get the sort of the drunks, you know, that sort of turn up at your signing and want you to autograph their sweaty shirts and things like this, you know. But in the main, you don't have much trouble. Yeah. But I'm very, very, very fortunate in as much that here I am now recognised as the ultimate screen villain of all time, and I can have all the publicity I want when I want it.
Thank you very much for your time.
It's been very pleasant.
Long live Darth.
Darth Vader.
Collection, the Darth Vader TIE Fighter.
Careful, Luke, we've got company.
X-Wing Fighter and action figure sold separately. Batteries not included.
It's on our tail, Luke.
Darth Vader's TIE Fighter has flashing light, action sound.
Luke's force is strong, but we've got him now.
Oh, no, you don't.
We've lost our shoulder panels.
Perfect hit.
I'll be back.
Kenner's Star Wars Darth Vader TIE Fighter. X-Wing Fighter and action figure each sold separately.
Thank you.
music to enjoy with a martini. From the CD, Cocktails in the Cantina, that was the Imperial March, aka Darth Vader's theme. A Lounge Lizard take on Star Wars music by the Evil Genius Orchestra. And that disc was released in 1999.
This is my apprentice, Darth Maul.
Without a doubt, everyone's favorite character from Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, was Darth Maul. Face colored by black and red tattoos, yellow eyes, and the crown of horns made Darth Maul the epitome of evil. Using his double-bladed lightsaber, Darth Maul was a killing machine. Bringing Darth Maul to life was martial arts expert Ray Park.
How you doing, Ray?
Not bad. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You are a martial arts master. What types of martial arts do you specialize in?
The style of martial art that I do is Shaolin Kung Fu and Wushu. And throughout the years, I've practiced gymnastics and kickboxing and boxing.
Your moves are so fluent, and they translate so well to celluloid. Is there any plans in the future to have a film featuring you as either yourself or a character, where demonstrating what you can do, like Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan?
Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, I'm big fans of, and that's really the reason why I got into movies and started martial arts, because of them. And I'm attached to play Danny Rand, who is Iron Fist, which is a Marvel comic character. And this has been an ongoing development for the last few years for me at the moment. And that was going to be a movie to showcase my ability as a martial artist and also an actor. So if that happens, then that would be an awesome movie to do. But I'm actually looking for that perfect vehicle movie for me right now to star in and actually showcase what I can do.
Real quick about Iron Fist, that movie's been in development for a while. Is it actually in a pre-production stage?
It was for a while, and then what they did is they were taken over by a different production company. So the production company are now just, they have bought over a few comic books, and they're working out their figures and their numbers of what they're going to do. But they tell me that they're going to do it, so fingers crossed that happens.
All right, let's talk about your character Darth Maul real quickly. Darth Maul's look is so cool. How long did it take for the makeup and the contact lenses, and how uncomfortable were they?
The makeup took 2 hours. I had about 3 hours to get ready every morning when I was working. The contact lenses were a bit uncomfortable at first, and then I got used to them for a little while. And the hardest part was taking the makeup off, because it would never quite come off. It was still on, you know. So it took about a month or so before the blackheads on my face actually were exfoliated properly, you know.
So that would be kind of rough when you go into the pub after the shoot and you'd still have some red and black on you.
Yeah, and especially from the guys, it looks like I got mascara on, you know. So that didn't go down too well. Luckily, I had a shaven hair, so no one messed with me.
I'm Darth Maul. Is that a good pickup line for you?
I'm married, but I'm sure it does, you know. But I try and keep that quiet, because I don't like to draw too much attention to myself. So, and a lot of people who know me or see my work really respect what I do. So, and it's also nice to be in the funniest places in the world, and people are Star Wars fans and they recognize you and go, "Hey, you were Darth Maul." You know, I was in the middle of the jungle in Malaysia and someone had recognized me, and I'm swimming down the river through the jungle and they're like, "Hey, you're Darth Maul." So that's awesome, you know.
Well, let's talk about the fans. They're so intense. What do you think about the fanatics, the diehards, who know everything about every character and, you know, situation?
I think it's awesome, you know, because Star Wars is such a big thing, such a wonderful thing. And really, it's changed a lot of people's lives. And it has changed how, when the original Star Wars came out, and how movies are made to this day. So it's awesome. I'm a big fan of Star Wars. I'm a big fan of what I do, like martial arts. And I know everything that there is about martial arts and martial art movies. So I think it's awesome, you know.
What's the strangest item you ever signed for a fan?
Strangest item was a booby. There was a little fantasy there with me when I got into it. Maybe girls are going to ask me to sign their boobs and stuff. You know, living that rock star sort of dream. But I've signed some... I've signed people's arms where they've had Darth Maul tattooed onto their arms and legs, and they've asked me to sign it. Then I've gone off that day and had my signature tattooed to their arm. So that's quite bizarre at first. But then, you know, when you think about it, it's quite neat. You know, they love that character and they want that signature underneath that. So that's cool.
That's a great tribute.
Not even Xena is a match for the limited edition double-edged lightsaber from Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
You removed it from its original packaging.
No! It's no longer a collectible! Oh, oh, oh!
What a nerd.
The double-bladed lightsaber. When you absolutely, positively gotta kill every droid in the room, except no substitute.
Techno take on the Duel of the Fates by Planet Core.
Planet Core.
And that'll put the wraps on this edition of A Galaxy of Music. Be sure to listen to the Forcecast every week for all your Star Wars news. Join Jason and Pete every Friday on the Forcecast. Thanks to Dustin Roberts and everyone at theforce.net and rebelscum.com. Jovial J. Shepherd is the man. And thank you for joining me for A Dance on the Dark Side. For theforce.net and rebelscum.com, I'm Jimmy Mack.
May the Force.
force be with you, bro.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.